Live from Clark Studios in Rochester, New York, broadcasting around the world. You're listening to You Made It Political, where the voice of the keyboard warrior is finally heard and the arguments presented are put to the political test. And now, here's your host, Matt Clark.
Good morning, America. Welcome to another episode of You Made It Political. We are streaming live right here from Clark Studios, broadcasting around the world. It's great to be with all of you this morning. We are now streaming live every single weekday morning at 10 a.m. We go live on Facebook. We go live on Rumble. We go live on YouTube. We then restream to all of your favorite podcast platforms, Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and a host of others. Today, we're going to get into a topic that is taking America by storm. It has to do with abortion. Texas has lit a match under the Democrats' asses. They're furious about it. But I agree with Abbott in Texas and with religion and with archbishops around the country who are applauding the move and are slamming fake Catholic Democrats like Biden and Pelosi, who claim to be Catholics. But we all know anybody who touts such anti-pro-life rhetoric are not Catholics. These are fake Democrats, and rightly so. According to archbishops around the country, they should be denied communion. They should be excommunicated. And that's exactly what these archbishops are doing and want to do, despite the Vatican's disapproval. Well, listen, religion has been around a lot longer than Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. Okay. It's 2020. We know religion, Catholicism, goes back thousands of years, okay? And it's not up to Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and the Democrats to rewrite the Bible, which is really what they are attempting to do by going up against the fact that the Bible says we shall not kill. It's one of the Ten Commandments. We shall not kill. Abortion is killing. Well, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats for years have been supporting Planned Parenthood. They've been supporting and funding. They've been funding these abortions with taxpayer dollars. Okay? And we all know that it's not right. It's not right at all. And the archbishops around the country are becoming more increasingly furious with this entire situation. They're saying, listen, you cannot claim you're a Catholic when you go around using taxpayers' dollars to fund abortions, to fund killing unborn babies. A few weeks ago, I did a show on the fact that the archbishop in Pelosi's hometown, San Francisco, said, listen, this is very un-Catholic of you. And he's now dialing it up a notch and saying, listen, if you keep it up, we're going to excommunicate you. Okay, because we're sick of it. Some are even going as far as saying, Joe Biden, if you keep it up, we're going to deny you communion, which the Vatican has a little bit of an issue with, but I don't care. Okay, because the Vatican should be supporting religion. The Vatican should be supporting the Bible. I mean, the Bible is like the Catholic Church's constitution. You don't rewrite it. The Bible was written by the apostles, okay? And that's not something that you just kind of rewrite as the times change. You can't rewrite God. You can't rewrite Jesus Christ. You can't rewrite or interpret or start to put your own little spin on what you think God really intended. It's pretty clear. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shall not kill. It doesn't say dot, 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 unless Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, the Democrats decide to come up with their own laws. Or what God really meant was this. No, it's very simple. Thou shall not kill. So we've let it go on long enough. We've let it go on long enough. Greg Abbott, governor down in Texas, finally said, you know what? Enough of this. I'm done. You cannot terminate a pregnancy before 6 months or before 6 weeks, before a heartbeat's detected, usually 6 weeks. Yes, I know you've got all the freaking, all the liberals coming on board and saying, yeah, but what about rape? Oh, so they're supposed to carry the term rape. Well, listen, rape counts for like less than 1% of pregnancies. And I would go as far as to argue, and I'm not going to undermine rape in any way, shape, or form, because I've never been through it, and I'm not one to talk. And I need to be very careful and mindful of the fact that I will never understand, hopefully, what it's like to be raped. So I'm not going to argue with any women who actually have been raped, because that's not fair. But what I will say is this. If you are raped, I understand it's a traumatic experience. And I understand there's a lot of emotions there. And I understand there's a lot of decisions and a lot to digest. But I'd like to think that 6 weeks was long enough to try to get your head around whether you want to terminate a pregnancy or not. That's my argument. That's my rebuttal. And I do think personally that it is. Again, I've never been in this situation. And if there's, I'd welcome anybody onto the show who wants to talk about the situation and why a rape victim may feel the need to need longer than 6 weeks. But for the most part, the majority of cases, 99% of them, do not involve rape. So Greg Abbott has said, listen, we really need to kind of come up with a cutoff time here. 6 weeks, we feel, is long enough. Okay, once you detect a heartbeat, technically, that's life. That's life. Yes, you have the My Body, My Choice advocates coming online and saying, what happened to My Body, My Choice? Republicans, you've been screaming My Body, My Choice for the vaccine. So now what? Well, technically, at 6 weeks, once the heartbeat's detected, it's not really your body anymore. It's not really your choice. It's not your DNA. It's not your choice. So, myself included, I've really thought a lot about this situation. I really have. You know, myself, I've been very pro-choice with abortion. My whole life, I've been pro-choice with abortion. But this whole 6 week detecting the heartbeat thing has got me really thinking. It's really got me thinking about the situation. And it's really kind of made me reflect on my own decisions or my own thought process as to when should an unborn baby be given the opportunity to live? When should we no longer be allowed to make that decision for an unborn child? And I do agree with Governor Abbott. I think 6 weeks is enough. So Pelosi, Biden, the Democrats, I mean, they're furious. And I'd like to ask all of you, and I'd love to be able to ask some of these Democrats, are they really furious because these women don't have the right to terminate pregnancy after 6 weeks? Or are they furious because another one of their Ponzi schemes, Planned Parenthood, just got busted? Another one of their money laundering schemes. I would go as far as to call it that. Another one of the Democratic money laundering Ponzi schemes got busted. Finally, it's being taken down. Because taxpayers should not be funding this nonsense. And we all know the Democrats love to hide money. They love to stash money away. And they use organizations like BLM, Planned Parenthood, as a funding source for their political nonsense. So what's Pelosi and Biden and Chuck Schumer and the rest of the village idiots really upset about here? What are they really upset about here? The fact that women don't have the right to choose after 6 weeks, or that we just cut off another one of their BS political funding sources brought to you by taxpayer dollars? Let's be honest. These are my taxpayer dollars that's going towards a lot of these Planned Parenthood abortions. So the Archbishop, rightly so, he's had enough and he's furious with it. And he's saying, Nancy, you cannot keep promoting and funding killing of unborn child and claim you are a devout Catholic. So what's exactly happened here? What's going on here over in San Francisco? So the Archbishop is threatening to excommunicate Nancy Pelosi over prominent Dems from the church over abortion. So other Dems are also being threatened. Joe Biden and everybody else touting this nonsense. Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi is in danger of being excommunicated from the Catholic Church for her continuous support of the murder of unborn children. Let's not beat around the bush here. She is supporting the murder of unborn children. Not very Catholic-like, is it? Over the weekend, Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, who I love this guy, by the way. He's got guts. He's got courage. He is exactly what we want to see in the Catholic Church. We need more people like this standing up to the tyranny that's been allowed, quite frankly, throughout this pandemic. So over the weekend, Archbishop Corleone, who just so happens to be the Archbishop of Pelosi's home diocese in San Francisco, California, wrote an essay in the Washington Post. So he writes this essay announcing that excommunication is a potential action to take against self-proclaimed Catholic Democrat leaders who support abortion. So he's not just saying, hey, they should be excommunicated. No, he's saying, I'm about to bring this on all of you. This is a potential action that I am willing to take if you don't cut the nonsense out right now. So in the Washington Post piece, Corleone urged Catholic politicians to oppose abortion, saying that you cannot be a good Catholic and support expanding a government-approved right to kill innocent human beings, which is exactly what's going on. He also went on to say, this summer, we provoked an uproar by discussing whether public officials who support abortion should receive the sacrament of Eucharist. Corleone wrote, we were accused of inappropriately injecting religion into politics, of butting in where we didn't belong. No, this is exactly where religion belongs. They had every right to butt in to politics. So Corleone wrote a piece this summer and he said, by writing that piece, they provoked an uproar. All they said is, listen, public officials who support abortion should receive the sacrament of Eucharist. Oh, well, the Democrats freaking lost their mind, went absolutely mental, because again, we're about to bring down their little sidebar funding source for their political campaigns, Planned Parenthood, which is the real reason they're all pissed off. But he says, listen, I see matters differently. When considering what duties Catholic bishops have with respect to prominent laymen in public life who openly oppose church teachings on abortion, I took to this country's last great human rights movement, still within my living memory, for inspiration on how we should respond. So the archbishops have every right to bring religion into politics at this point. We are not going to let the Democrats bully the Catholic Church any longer. We are done with that. We are done allowing them to bully the Catholic Church, to silence the Catholic Church. And I've had shows where I've gone off on the Catholic Church, and I've said, shame on you guys for allowing the tyrannical government to silence freedom of religion, the freedom to practice religion, when they were limiting how many people could attend church. And shame on all of you Catholic Americans or Catholics around the world who just bent over for this nonsense and said, oh, okay. That is not how we practice religion, by letting government tell us when and where we are allowed to practice it. Quite frankly, I don't even think it's the school's right to tell anybody whether they are allowed to practice in school or not. That should be nobody's right. We have the freedom of speech, we have the freedom to assemble, and we have freedom to practice religion anywhere in the United States of America. So it is absolutely within the boundaries of the archbishops to inject religion into politics, because somebody's got to shut these Democrats up. Somebody's got to say, you are way overstepping your boundaries right now, and you cannot claim to be a devout Catholic if you continue to support taxpayer-funded abortions. The archbishop then encouraged other church leaders to use the threat of excommunication, bravo, to force politicians to make good decisions. All we're asking, at the very least, is that they make good Catholic decisions. After all, if you're going to be a Catholic, you need to make good Catholic decisions. He compared the abortion to racism during the civil rights movement. So I think it's great. I think it's great that Archbishop Salvatore Carleone is going up against Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi's archbishop threatens to excommunicate her, as well as other prominent Dems, for their supporting of Planned Parenthood, for supporting taxpayer-funded abortions. Let's see what the American people have to say about this. We got great comments coming in. This is directly from trendingpolitics.com. Great, great conservative platform, by the way. If you haven't checked them out, you got to check them out. Karen said, after everything she's done negative, I wonder if that phases her. It's so sad and so wrong. Some people have turned their back to God. That's exactly what the Democrats are doing right now. They are turning their back to God by supporting Planned Parenthood, by trying to go up against Governor Abbott. That's exactly what they're doing. It's very sad. I don't think it does faze Nancy Pelosi. I really don't. I mean, she's such an evil old witch. I mean, she is like the Wicked Witch of the House of Representatives, that I don't think it even phases her. I don't think she cares. And that's if she's even sober to even digest the fact that the Archbishop and the Catholic Church is furious with her right now. Jim says, don't just say it, referring to the Archbishop. Don't just say it, have some balls and do it. This has to start somewhere. Why not with the church, for the rage and hatred she carries in her? And I hope the Archbishop follows through. And I'm personally, I am sick. I'm sick of Republicans talking shit. I'm sick of archbishops, you know, coming out there and saying, hey, we're going to excommunicate, or we're going to withhold communion, or we're going to deny communion. Well, do it then. Do it. Are you looking for engagement, or are you looking to... are you looking to really throw the hammer down on these people? And that goes for all of our political and religious leaders. Don't just say it, do it. I agree 100%, Jim. These people need to follow through now. Cindy says, God bless that bishop. He absolutely has the right to speak up. He is to guide, if he is to guide the flock. So many people sit in church and never hear that you cannot participate in abortion, and voting to keep pro-abortion politicians is participating. That's true. Democrats, you're supporting this. You are not Catholic if you are supporting Democrats that support abortion. If you vote for these Democrats, you are voting for abortion. You are voting to allow unborn babies to be murdered. So Governor Abbott, he said, I've had enough. Once we detect that heartbeat, that's it. You got to carry through term. So we'll see if the Democrats actually get their way. They are fighting this thing hard. Fight all you want, Democrats. It's a very, very un-Catholic thing to do. And I hope you do get excommunicated. At the very least, I hope your reputations get tarnished and destroyed, because you aren't Catholics. Don't claim to be devout Catholics when you are constantly supporting the funding of abortions. So who else has now jumped on the bandwagon? It's great to see. It's really, really good to see Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem is now issuing her own executive order. Kristi Noem bans telemedicine abortions, which is great to know. So Kristi Noem, great patriot, great conservative. Kristi Noem is now joining the anti-abortion bandwagon. She's stepping up. And I'll tell you, a lot of Republican states now are starting to go down this route, are really starting to say, hey, I think Abbott's onto something, and I think we got to support him here. The reckless and irresponsible act of killing unborn babies has got to come to an end. It's inhumane. It's unjust. These babies don't have a choice. So Kristi Noem is now issuing executive order banning telemedicine abortions. What does that mean exactly? What does she mean by banning telemedicine abortions? So South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem issued an executive order Tuesday, just yesterday, presenting telemedicine abortions in the state, instead requiring that the medication be picked up in person from a physician. So you can't just kind of have a phone call and then order this stuff online anymore. Through her executive order, Noem is requiring that abortion-inducing medications such as mifepristone can only be provided to a woman by a physician licensed in South Dakota after an in-person examination. The order also states that data on the number of chemical abortions performed, any complications, and information on whether the woman was coerced or sex trafficked and forced to take the pills will also be gathered. So Noem's actually taking it one step further here. She's not only saying, listen, you can't have these telecalls anymore. Okay, you got to go see a physician. You can't just do an online Zoom call and then the doctor's going to start sending you the medicine to abort your pregnancy. You need to actually go see the physician and then discuss it with the physician and then personally go and pick this medicine up. But she's also wants to know and make sure that women aren't being coerced or sex trafficked and forced to take the pills. So she's also trying to gather information on this. Noem also outlined that manufacturers, suppliers, and doctors will not be allowed to supply abortion medications through telemedicine or mail service. Such medication is also barred from being given to women on any school or state grounds, including colleges and universities. Noem also directed that South Dakota Department of Health to develop an abortion clinic license specific to the pharmaceutical nature of medical abortion, in keeping with South Dakota's existing surgical abortion clinic licensing requirements. So Noem is jumping on the anti-abortion bandwagon. I think it's great. I think that we all need to kind of really seriously consider the fact that these unborn babies, as soon as a heartbeat is detected, you know, has their own body, which means they should be the one to make the choice. Like I said in the beginning of the show, Charlie Kirk said it best. Charlie Kirk said, let me help all of you who hear the my body, my choice argument. I'm going to help you right here, he says. It's not your DNA. It's not your choice. And that stuck with me. It's a great video. Charlie Kirk at a public speaking event where he came out with that. He actually didn't come up with that. He saw it at a protest rally. Not your DNA, not your choice. And I'm starting to really get on board with this. I'm really starting to rethink my own views on abortion, and somebody who used to be pro-choice my whole life, what Governor Abbott and what Noem have done has really made me rethink whether pro-choice after heartbeat detected is humane in any way, which I'm starting to think it's not. It's not, because we're killing these unborn babies that don't have a choice. It's actually their body. So I applaud Noem. I think it's great what she's doing. I think it's great that that other Republican governors are starting to jump on board with this. And I think the Democrats are just going to have to get their head around the fact that their little Ponzi scheme, Planned Parenthood, their little money laundering, financial source to fund their own political party may be coming to an end, which is the real reason I think these guys are shitting themselves. The real reason that Pelosi and the Democrats are fighting Abbott hard on this. It's not for women's rights. Let's be honest. The Democrats don't care. They don't care as much as they don't care about BLM, who they dropped the second BLM got into, or the second that Joe Biden got into office. I mean, have you heard them mention BLM once since Joe Biden took office? Have we heard Kamala Harris even mention BLM once? No. They don't care because they got their vote, they got their money, they won the election. That's the Democrats use and abuse Americans for political and financial gain every single election year. You won't hear. I mean, coronavirus came and went during the election. Let's be honest. Yeah, cases are spiking all over the country, but we all know it's only so Big Pharma can get their money on the vaccine. That's the only reason we're still peddling this nonsense. That's the only reason the kids are masked in school, is because we know they're being held hostage, mask for vax, so the Big Pharma can get their revenue. As soon as Big Pharma gets their revenue and hits their sales targets, you're not going to hear about coronavirus ever again. It's just going to be a thing of the past until 2024. So what are the Dems going to use for 2024, you might wonder? Climate change. Why do you think Biden's pushing it so hard right now? Because they're gearing up to make it the next big crisis, the next big scare in America. So the Democrats can come in and act like they're really trying to make a difference, so they can scare the crap out of all of our children and lead them to believe that if we don't start making changes today, we're all going to die in 10 years. That the sun's going to take out the earth, or that we're going to go into the next ice age, or whatever other ridiculous story that they want to claim is going to happen just around the corner if we don't make changes right this second. And the Republicans are going to say, listen, calm down, everybody. It's not true. They're going to try to make the Republicans look like monsters again, like we don't care. No, we're just applying logic like we always do. We're just trying to keep emotion out of it. We're trying to just kind of let you guys know that it's pretty cyclical what happens every few hundred million years, and that no matter what you do, you're not going to control it. The Earth's going to correct itself whether you influence it or not. I'd like to think that we have that much power over the universe, but we don't. So the Democrats need to stop flattering themselves, which they tend to do a lot. So climate change is going to be their next big scare. They use coronavirus to win 2020 election. They're going to use climate change to try to win 2024. And that's only if they even get past 2022 primaries. Which, to be honest, I don't think they will. I really don't think they will. I think Joe Biden has been so disastrous as a president. He's destroyed this country. Destroyed this country in what, just 8 months? And look at all the damage that he's done. America hates this man. The military hates Joe Biden. Nobody likes Kamala. Nobody wants to see her become president. We're begging Pelosi to not throw the 25th at Biden because we don't want Harris. And it's evident that not many people are happy with the direction that America's headed. Even Democrats aren't happy. Moderates are not happy. We've overspent. We're driving up inflation. We're just killing this economy. It's in a matter of time before it collapses. And most of you are out of a job, sadly. If you don't think it's coming, it's coming. It's coming. It's around the corner now. And I hope that we don't have to go into a great recession to finally wake up and realize, Jesus Christ, look what the Democrats have done to America. I really hope, for all of your sake, for my sake, that it doesn't get to that point. And if it does, guess who's not going to care? The Democrats, because they have their money. Pelosi has her hundreds of millions. Biden's got his millions, tens of millions. Hunter Biden's just cleaned up on his little crappy art deals. Politicians have made their money. They can ride out an economic recession. They can ride out a massive stock market crash. You better believe they've already diversified, getting ready for a crash, because it's going to happen. So they're all set up. They know it's coming. You and I, are going to get destroyed over it. But guess what? Even if you are a Democrat sitting there with your tail between your legs, broke after losing your job, thinking, I'm so sorry I voted for Biden, it's too late. It's too little, too late. And I won't even care to sit here and play the I told you so game, because what good is that going to do when we're all out of a job because the Democrats have just destroyed this economy? And it's absolute nonsense, Biden's unemployment numbers. All that Biden has done is rebounded by unlocking everything. He keeps claiming, oh, numbers are at all-time unemployment, all-time low, unemployment this, or we've got more jobs back. It's not. Unemployment was actually at an all-time low under Trump, and we haven't seen levels since. All Biden's done is reclaimed all the jobs lost from locking us down last year. That's all that's happened. So when they throw tens of millions of jobs back into the economy, that's not new jobs. That's just people getting their jobs back. But we all know the Democrats lie. They like to make it out that they're the saviors of everything, and only the dumb liberals who put emotion ahead of logic fail to understand that the Democrats are once again pulling something over the American people. Speaking of pulling something over the American people, Fauci is now busted for lying once again. Newly released 900 pages in documents show Rand Paul was right. Do you guys remember that? I'll play you the video in just a second, but do you remember that whole video about Rand Paul and Fauci going head to head? I'm going to play it for you now. Let's have a listen.
Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Microphone down.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans,
right?
You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly. And I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
Okay, so Fauci claims you don't know what you're talking about, right? Well, actually, Rand Paul knows exactly what he's talking about. And he's been right this whole time. Thank God for Rand Paul going up against this nonsense. Rand Paul's been fighting for medical freedom. I believe he's vaccinated. Don't quote me on it, but I believe he is. But he's been fighting for medical freedom for this whole time, which is great. We need more politicians who are saying, listen, I got it, but I'm still fighting for medical freedom. So Fauci says, Rand Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. Actually, Rand Paul knows exactly what he's talking about, because a newly released document reveals in depth how the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, headed by none other than Anthony Fauci, funding the U.S.-based nonprofit EcoHealth Alliance, performing high-risk research with the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. So Fauci straight up denied it. We saw the videos. He just said, I didn't fund gain-of-function research. I did a whole video on this maybe a couple months ago. You can go and dig through that, and I kind of break down what is gain-of-function and why are these two in a battle over it. But for those of you who don't really understand the whole gain-of-function thing, let me explain this real quick. Gain-of-function is basically doing research on a virus by influencing that virus, by making it stronger, more deadly, by intentionally making the virus way more deadly than what it is now, to then say, hey, let's try to come up with a cure for that man-made virus that we just made more deadly than it used to be, which to me is just so freaking, just doesn't make sense. I mean, we're intentionally trying to make viruses, like super viruses, in a lab, so then we could say, hey, now let's treat it. That's just a recipe for disaster. And as we saw with coronavirus, that's exactly what happened in 2019. It got out. And we all said, wait a second, where did this thing come from? Trump said it came from a China lab in Wuhan. Oh, no, 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 no. China denied it. Fauci denied it. We don't do gain of function research. Well, not only does Fauci do gain of function research, he funded it. The NIH funded it. And now it's come out in a 900-page document proving Rand Paul was right and that Fauci lied about the Wuhan lab funding. The grant funding documents were obtained by The Intercept in connection to its lawsuit against the National Institute of Health. It encompasses more than 900 previously unpublished pages of documents on EcoHealth Alliance. So the BAT coronavirus grant, this is what it's called, the BAT coronavirus grant. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than that. Clearly, they funded the whole COVID thing because it was transmitted from a bat to a human. The BAT coronavirus grant provided the EcoHealth Alliance with a total of $3.1 million, including $599,000 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology used in part to identify and alter bat coronaviruses likely to infect humans. All in the report. Even before the pandemic, many scientists were concerned about the potential dangers associated with such experiments. The grant proposal acknowledges some of those dangers. Fieldwork involves the highest risk of exposure to SARS or other COVIDs while working in caves with high bat density overhead and the potential for fecal dust to be inhaled. So the grant was initially awarded over a five-year period from 2014 to 2019. Funding was renewed in 2019, but suspended by the Trump administration in April 2020. Trump suspended this. He wanted nothing to do with it. The writing was on the wall. We saw where this was going to head. We saw where this was going. So as documented exhaustively after the COVID-19 pandemic in late 2019, China did not show, if you guys remember this, China did not show much concern about it spreading to the rest of the world at first. According to a U.S. intelligence report obtained by the Wall Street Journal, three researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were documented as being sick with symptoms consistent with COVID-19 and common seasonal illness. So three researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were documented in late 2019. The Associated Press then reported in April 2020 that China hadn't warned the public about COVID-19 and the potentiality of human-to-human transmission for 6 days, and finally telling the public on January 20th. Because they got caught. They got caught. They couldn't keep it a secret anymore. So finally, like, shoot, we really need to come out with this because this is looking really bad right now. Furthermore, China pushed to end travel from Wuhan and Hubei province from January 2020, but pushed to keep open foreign travel through the end of March. And it should also be noted, that Dr. Anthony Fauci publicly opposed Donald Trump's travel ban on China early on and even praised the communist country's transparency. Remember, that was one of Anthony Fauci's first big mistakes. Trump wanted to shut down the borders. Remember, Fauci and the Democrats were like, oh, that is so unconstitutional. And Fauci wanted to keep the borders opened and applauded China's transparency. Trump wanted to close it. He got challenged. Borders remained opened. The newly released EcoHealth Alliance documents shine an even brighter spotlight on Dr. Fauci, who made heated denials about the NIH's funding being utilized at the Wuhan laboratory and specifically for risky gain of function research. Before Congress, Dr. Fauci got into a charged confrontation with Rand Paul over the matter of gain of function research. So Fauci lied. He's been involved. A 900-page document finally came out. And this is how it all started. If remember, it all started back when Fauci and Rand Paul went back and forth. Well, let's play another clip, knowing that Fauci got busted here.
Thank you. I don't think I have anything further to say. This is a pattern that Senator Paul has been doing now at multiple hearings based on no reality. He keeps talking about gain of function. This has been evaluated multiple times by qualified people to not fall under the gain of function definition. I have not lied before Congress. I have never lied, certainly not before Congress. Case closed. I don't think I have anything further to say. This
really
is a pattern.
The case is closed, obviously, because this document just came out and totally busted Fauci. I mean, he's done. He's done. Fauci needs to be fired. He needs to step down. Nobody wants to listen to this guy anymore. We're all sick to death of him. And there's now a 900-page document that very clearly states that we researched gain of function, or that we financed the NIH, Fauci, $3.1 million, $599,000. Fauci personally funded a portion of it to the Wuhan Lab of Virology over in China. It's fact. Now, what Fauci's trying to do is say, well, hold on, technically, it's not really the definition of blah, 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 blah. Fauci, what is it then? I don't care what you want to call it. You funded the project that developed a super virus that was then leaked from the Wuhan lab, transmitted to a human. Three researchers get sick, and boom, we have the world's most catastrophic, financially and economically catastrophic pandemic that shut this world down for over a year. That's destroyed lives, ruined businesses, kept kids out of school, torn families apart, all because Fauci lied. All because he couldn't say, hey, listen, hold on a second. This got out of control, I admit, but we've got a good handle on it. So what else are they lying about? What else are the Democrats and Fauci lying about? They are no different than China right now. China only admitted it because they finally got busted. And remember when Trump said it very early on? No one believed him. I don't think there's a single thing that Donald Trump hasn't said that wasn't true. It was all true. Everything that Trump tried to warn us of was true. Yet the Democrats, the media, CNN, MSNBC, who, by the way, have the lowest ratings in decades now because people are just done and sick to death of listening to the propaganda machine brainwash them. They all fought to silence Trump, and they continue to do it. Conspiracy theorists have all been right. They've all been right. I don't know a single conspiracy theory that didn't actually not turn out to be true. So the media, along with Dr. Fauci, along with the Democrats, it's all one lie after the next lie after the next lie. Climate change, COVID, just exaggerated and abusive lies to try to pull one over the American people. I'll be right back after this commercial.
You Made It Political would not have been possible without this book right here, Expert Secrets, by my man, Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson wrote this book to help people like you and I become leaders in our space, to gain an audience and a public following that respects, loves, and watches our shows on a daily basis. Expert Secrets will help you find your voice and give you the confidence to become a leader. It'll show you how to build a mass movement of people whose lives you can affect. And most importantly, it'll teach you how to become an expert authority in your field where people actually pay you for your advice. The best part about Expert Secrets is it's absolutely free. You just pay for shipping. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, a podcaster, or a live YouTube streamer, you want to grab a copy of this book. It'll teach you everything from building your audience to driving traffic to making this a full-time job so you can get paid for your passion.
We'll be right back.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. We are broadcasting live from Rochester, New York, here out of Clark Studios. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. A lot of really good comments coming in on the feed, and I do appreciate that. I appreciate every one of you that have taken time out of your busy schedule to tune into the show, because when you comment, when you like the page, when you share it, you're supporting it, and I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you very much. We've had a lot of really good discussion this morning here every morning at 10 o'clock. We stream live to Facebook, YouTube, Rumble now. Guys, hit us up on all of those platforms. So no matter where you are, what platform you're on, you're going to make sure you get conservative awesomeness delivered right to you every single morning, where we discuss, break down, and digest the hypocrisy of the liberal left and put the sneaky mainstream media in check and call out their lies. So a few good comments here. Courtney, I want to know what Fauci's definition of gain of function is then. If this isn't it, then what is? You're exactly right. And I just called Fauci out on that. And I said the same exact thing just before the commercial break. I said, Fauci, what's your definition of gain of function? You're totally busted. Totally, totally busted. And you can't get out of this one. Before the break, we spoke about the fact that Fauci is now busted, 900 pages, documented proof that Fauci and the NIH funded gain of research over in China. So we ended the segment a minute ago talking about the fact that Democrats continue to lie. They lie and lie and lie. And another lie by the Biden administration, according to Trending Politics, great article, Black Unemployment Skyrocketing under Biden after reaching historic lows under Trump. You know, President Trump, record-breaking economy, unemployment at all-time lows. Some would even say we were at full employment under Trump. I mean, they would. Economists have gone as far as to say that. President Trump took care of the minorities. Despite what anybody thinks, despite what the Democrats say, President Trump loved the Black community. He loved minorities. He loved the American people, which is why he had a very, very strict America first mentality. Well, Joe Biden has now come in. He's destroyed the economy. He's locked us down. He's muzzled our kids. Unemployment amongst the Black community has skyrocketed. Ironically, seeing that the Black community is Joe Biden's most beloved community and Black Lives Matter supported them, supported the campaign, funded the campaign along with the teachers unions to help get Joe Biden elected. So once again, we've seen that Joe Biden doesn't really care about the Black community, because if he did, he'd make sure that they had jobs, that they were employed. But as we can see here, that's not the case. And I don't think it's going to be the case. I mean, I always knew Joe Biden was full of shit when it came to the Black community. Once a racist, always a racist. His racial comments about concrete jungles, and he didn't want his kids growing up in a concrete jungle decades ago when we all heard it. Why does the Black community continue to give Joe Biden the benefit of the doubt? Once a cheater, always a cheater. There's some things people change on. One thing they don't change is on racism, cheating, drug addicts. Yes, they go into recovery, but there's always an itch to use again. Very similar situation. So no, I don't believe Joe Biden has changed. I believe he's the same filthy racist that he was even 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And I truly believe he doesn't care about the Black community as much as they think he does. Because if he did, if Kamala Harris did, if any of the Democrats cared about the Black community, they'd be out there right now rebuilding those communities. I mean, I keep hearing Joe Biden's stupid slogan, build back better, whatever the hell that means. What have you built, Joe? What have you actually built back? Because as far as I'm concerned, you've just destroyed America. And all you continue to do is just make things worse. So build back better, Joe. What exactly are you building back better? Because it's certainly not the Black community. It never has been. You got their money. What about all the cities that were burned to the ground during the BLM riots? Have you built back better those towns? I don't think so. Have you put a single penny back to those communities? Has Kamala Harris got her ass out there after bailing out all those criminals and said, hey, let's go rebuild these communities. Let's go help the black communities that you destroyed. Let's go build them back better. No, nothing. Crickets. We haven't seen Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, Maxine Waters do anything except for talk crap leading up to the election. Well, they got your vote, and now they're gone. They're gone. So the black unemployment is now skyrocketing. And I know we keep hearing Joe saying, hey, unemployment, we're doing great. Look, 10 million more jobs. No, we haven't added jobs. All we've done is let people get back to work. You can't count that as new jobs. That's not how it works. If I go to the casino, okay, if I go to the casino and I'm up I'm down $5,000 and then I win a grand. I'm not up a grand. I'm still down $4,000. This is kind of what Joe Biden's doing right now. If GDP went down 30% and then shoots back up 33% once lockdowns are lifted, we didn't go up 33%. We went up 3%. So the Democrats, if you haven't noticed, are really good at fudging the numbers. They're very good at misleading and borderline just straight up lying to the American people because they do it. And for some reason, the far left progressives and a lot of the Democrats are kind of not smart enough to understand that these are lies that they're peddling. Well, Joe Biden continues to peddle more lies about the economy and unemployment. So for those of you who think we're doing great and that unemployment is doing, you know, at all-time lows again and that we've added more jobs to the market, we haven't. Not even close. Not even close. And it's so bad that the black community now is, unemployment is skyrocketing. Again, under Biden, after reaching historic lows under Trump. So let's break this down a little bit and see exactly what's going on here. How bad is it? Well, first, we need to remember that for most of former President Donald Trump's term, unemployment for all demographics fell to a point where pre-pandemic, the rate was so low that many economists estimated that the U.S. was at full employment. But what Trump managed to accomplish that none of his most recent predecessors managed was to lower the employment rates for Black and Hispanic Americans to historic levels, which he touted often in speeches and on the 2020 campaign trail. Rightly so. Fast forward to the present day, despite the vast majority of the country having shed pandemic restrictions, which created millions of job openings. Again, it didn't really create job openings, just we got to go back to work. Unemployment for Blacks has shot up again under President Joe Biden, a phenomenon which is undermining his pledge to leave no American behind. The rise in Black unemployment in August is certainly troubling, considering their unemployment rates were already much higher than any other group. Elise Gould, a senior economist at the Economic Policy Institute, noted on Twitter. Black people also recorded lower levels of poverty under Trump, just the news noted. So one economist who served as an advisor to Trump, Stephen Moore, said that economic and employment trend lines for Black people under Biden are ominous, especially given all of the congressionally approved COVID-19 relief that was doled out. See, that's the sad thing here, people, that even after all the COVID relief money given to the Black community, unemployment is still at record high for that demographic. So it just goes to show, giving people free money, handing out socialist crack money, doesn't do a damn thing. It does nothing to help the economy get back on track, because all people did was go out and buy new cell phones and smart TVs and cars and whatever else they wanted to splash their cash on, instead of paying off credit cards, instead of paying off student loans, instead of putting that money away for a rainy day. They splurged it on dumb crap. So even after Biden handed out all the socialist crack money, the Black demographic is still at an all-time high and still at very high poverty levels. It doesn't matter how much free money Biden passes out to people. There can be no black economic progress in households with no one working, Stephen Moore said, an economist and an advisor to Trump. Overall, the U.S. jobless rate in August fell from 5.4% to 5.2%, but for black people, it rose from 8.2% to 8.8%, a 7% spike in a single month, reported by Just the News. To put that number to perspective, black joblessness has reached an all-time low of 5.4% in the report that came out in November 2019, just before the pandemic. Black workers are often first to be fired and last to be rehired. So if the recovery shows, we might expect to see that the impact is more on black workers. Daniel Zhao said, a senior economist with Glassdoor, told Reuters on Friday. So after last month's increase, the jobless rate for black workers is still at crisis era levels and is down just 0.4 percentage points from the start of the year. The unemployment rate for white workers at 4.5% is below the national unemployment rate and down by 1.2 percentage points from January, the news agency said. So it's bad. It's bad out there. It's bad out there, not just the black community, but for the Hispanic community. The jobless rate for Hispanics hit a record low of 3.9% in September, while African Americans maintained its lowest rate ever, 5.5%. Lowest rate ever. There have never been more black and Hispanic Americans in the workforce under Trump, and now it's horrific under Biden. So regardless of what the Democrats peddle as far as the employment rate is concerned, black unemployment skyrocketing again under Biden after reaching historic lows under Trump. Let's see what the American people have to say about this before we end the show for the day. Wayne says the blacks are still screwed by the demos, always have and always will, as they still believe their lies and promises and vote for them. Someday, maybe they will wake up. I think they're waking up already, Wayne. I really do. I think the black community is waking up. I don't think they're going to fall for it again in 2024. I really don't. Hence the reason the Democrats are really trying hard to flood our southern border with Hispanic demographic. But you'd be surprised. And in yesterday's live, I actually went through some statistics, and there's a report that says the Hispanic community is not really likely to vote for Democrats, which I always knew may have been the case, because if you ask any immigrant who's migrated to America who they would rather vote for, it's not going to be for the Democrats, because they left their countries. They left their socialist countries. They left their communist countries to come to America, a free country. They want nothing to do with the direction the Democrats want to take this country. So although the Democrats think they're being clever and buying their votes by letting all of these millions of Hispanics come in from the border, I think they're going to actually shoot themselves in the foot and think, wait, what the hell just happened? We just paved passage to U.S. citizenship for 20 million Latinos, Hispanics, South Americans. Where are all their votes? Yeah. They're with Republicans because they want freedom. That's why they came here. So I don't think it's going to be as easy to buy their vote as the Democrats think it's going to be. Jolene says Trump was right when he asked Black America, what do you have to lose? Now they know, their jobs. Vote for the party that is best at fixing problems, not creating them. Phenomenal content. I love that. Great comment. Brenda says everything is skyrocketing under Biden. Death, inflation, unemployment, hatred, COVID, communism, and the list goes on. And that is a phenomenal comment to end today's show on. That's exactly what's happening. Everything's skyrocketing under Biden. Death, inflation, unemployment, hatred, COVID, communism, and now murdering of unborn babies. Can the Democrats do anything right? Is there anything they want to do to actually help America rather than destroy it? We need 2022 to come now. We need this to happen like yesterday. We have got to take back the House. We've got to take back the Senate. We have got to fix America. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. We go live every single day, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, live stream, 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. So join me wherever you are in the country or around the world, and we replay everything to all of your favorite podcast platforms. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for listening to You Made It Political with Matt Clark. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to the show, or leave us a review on iTunes. And if you like our show or want to know more, check out YouMadeItPolitical.com.